All right, there we go. Good? Good deal. A little loud? All right. Good afternoon, everyone. How you doing? A great event so far, yes? Okay. Anyway, I know most of you were in the event that I did yesterday morning, so this is going to go a little bit more into advance of what I just did yesterday. So if for some reason that you were not here yesterday, I will make sure you guys get the recorded presentation of the information that I shared yesterday. Not the exact same thing that I did yesterday, but the recorded presentation itself. So, just to give a little bit of a recap, you know, so as you know, this concept, you know, has been around for over 200 plus years. This is what the wealthy do to keep, build, and create their money and their wealth. This is what the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the Stanleys, the Barclays, this is how they implement as far as keeping their cash wealth and building it to multi-generational wealth. As I shared with you yesterday, I was able to pay off almost $1 million of debt in 39 months, 3 years and 3 months. The concept is basically driven from this book here called on the book it's called The Black Book, Becoming Your Own Banker by R. Nelson Nash. This book completely changed my financial life, as I said yesterday. This is a book that you definitely want to add to your financial library. And it is, so kind of outside of the box thinking. It's a paradigm shift. It's not what we've been taught about our money. I actually also wrote a book called Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery a couple years ago with a colleague of mine, Chris Noggle. A lot of you emailed me yesterday, and I emailed you the book. So all you got to do is send me an email, Brent@themoneymultiplier.com, B-R-E-N-T, Brent@themoneymultiplier.com, and I will send you a copy of this ebook here. All right, so anyway, I went over yesterday, and I basically, on these calculators, I showed you how you can make money by borrowing at a higher rate than what you're currently earning. And if you remember, I basically said over here, the thing you have is $25,000 in an account, right? I'm going to make believe that is your checking or your savings account, and you have $25,000 in that account, and that account is paying you 4% interest. I know it's not paying you 4% interest in your checking or your savings account, but I'm going to say that you found a really good conventional bank, and they're paying you 4% on your money. And then I said, I'm going to be your banker, and I'm going to say that you come into that bank and you want to take that $25,000 out of the account that is currently paying you 4% interest, and you want to go pay cash for a car. And I say, no, you don't want to take the $25,000 out earning 4% to go pay cash for the car. Instead, I'm going to make you a loan of $25,000, and I'm going to charge you 6% interest on that car loan. Now, is it possible just to make more money earning 4% at the same time you're paying 6% over the same equal time period? And you guys said no, because if you earn 4 and pay 2, or so if you earn 4 and pay 6, then you are losing 2. And I said, let's just assume that that is going to happen over 5 years or 60 months. That is how long you're going to take that car loan out for. You're going to have $25,000 at 6% interest, and over the next 5 years on that car payment is just basically going to be $483.32 a month. Take that times 60. That means you pay almost $29,000 for that car. You pay $25,000 in interest, $25,000 in principal, and $4,000 in interest. At the same time, I say keep the dollars in the account at your bank that's earning 4%. So $25,000 at 4% over the same time period, or 5 years or 60 months, you actually have a total of $30,525. So then I say, is this number here, the 30,525, is it a larger number than the 28,999? Or do you guys do math differently in Ohio than I do in Florida? So it's a bigger number, right? Well, how can that be? How can you have more money earning four at the same time you're paying six? And the reason is because the car balance is going down. It's on a decreasing balance. It goes down every month, and the dollars that you have in the account are going up. So one goes down and the other one goes up. But our minds aren't programmed to think that way, because we think if we earn four and pay six, we're losing two. So we have to start learning how money works. So all I wanted to do with this exercise is I wanted to prove to you that you can make money all day long earning four and paying six. Okay? You can make money all day long earning four and paying six. Now, why is that important? Because if you remember, okay, so the thing we're going to use as the machine to build, keep, and create wealth is that whole life insurance policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. So the thing that is going to happen is we are going to put money into this life insurance policy, not any life insurance policy, not the life insurance policy that your brother-in-law is going to tell you about, because your brother-in-law that sells life insurance has no idea how this policy works. If he did, he would have already told you about it. So the thing we're going to do is we're going to put the money into the policy, and we're going to use the policy to buy the things that we're going to buy in life anyway. And when you do that, so just by adding one step in your financial life, not only are you going to be able to buy the products and services that you're currently buying, but now you can recycle and recapture and get all of that money back. Because inside of the policy, the growth rate is going to be at least 4%. However, it's going to be higher than 4% because of the policy dividends that the insurance company pays. And the insurance company will never charge you more than 6% to take a policy loan. So can you make money all day long earning four and paying six? The answer is yes. So that's really important, because that is how the policy works. You have a guaranteed growth rate inside of the policy, plus on top of that, you have like the dividends. Now, even though dividends are not guaranteed, the insurance company, every year they declare the profit of the company, and so the thing they do is they distribute that in the form of a dividend. And it could be a good dividend, it could be a not so good dividend, but every single year, every company I work with has been paying these dividends for over 120 plus consecutive years. Now, if you think about 120 years, that goes back into the late 1800s. And guess what happened in the 1920s and 1930s, right? The thing we had is the recession. We had the Great Depression. So even during those times, all these insurance companies were profitable, and they were paying you, okay, they were paying you the profit and like the dividend. Because remember, these are mutual companies. These are mutual companies. They're not stock companies, meaning that you are the ones that are making the profit of the company. Because the thing is with you guys, own the contract, not the company. You own the contract. So you're making the profit on the policy. So can we make, like, all day long, can we make money earning four and paying six? And the answer is yes. And then I went on to prove that to you. And I showed you the car example. I showed you how you're going to get all the money back on all the cars that you're going to buy, drive, and own just during the course of a lifetime. Now, I want you to look at this up here, and I showed this yesterday. Okay? I want you to imagine just having a bank account. And again, I'm just going to go into a bit more detail than what I showed you yesterday. I want you to imagine having a bank account, and let's just say that in your bank account it has $73,226 in it. Okay? And if I fast forward the next 5 years, and over the next 5 years, the thing that I do is I take out $25,000 out of that account, And I pay back a total of $500 a month or $6,000 a year for 5 years, which would be a total of like $30,000. Okay? So if I take 25 out and I pay back a total of 30, that means I've actually paid back $5,000 more than I've taken out, right? So if that's the case, this bank account should have, instead of $73,000, it should have $78,000. Are you with me?
Yep.
But how much does it have 5 years later? In year 13, it has almost $96,000, $95,000 and some change. So it should have $78,000, but it has $95,000. Well, why does it have 95 and not 78? It's because you have the money inside of the policy. So all of that money is compounding and growing in that tax-free growth rate, even though that you're using the money to buy the cars. So it's uninterrupted compound interest. So all we're doing, just like I said yesterday, all we're doing is we're adding one simple step to our financial life. That's all we're doing. We're putting money inside of the policy, and then from the policy, now we're going to pull that money out to go buy the car in this example. So at the end of the time, not only do we get the car that we bought, but we get all of the money back as well. So we have the car and the money. And if this works for a $25,000 car, it works for a $50,000 car. It works for a boat, a bicycle, a house. It works for your taxes. It works for your charitable giving. It works for any product or service that you are buying. So not only do you buy the product and service, and the thing you do is you give them the money. So the thing that you do is you take your money and you give it to the car dealer, for example. So the car dealer gets the money, you get the car. Most of the time, everybody walks away, the transaction is over. They've got the money, you get the car. But by adding this one simple step, this one simple process, this one simple concept in your financial life, not only do you get the car that you bought, but you get the money back as well. Because all of that money is staying within your family. It's all within a closed system. I know a lot of this stuff, it might seem complicated, but it's complicated because of how you're thinking about it, because you're not programmed to think about money this way. I'll answer your questions at the end, I promise. Again, so if you guys have a question, I want you to write it down. A short pencil is better than a long memory, so you don't forget the question. But the way that we've been programmed to think about money is to do what? We've been programmed to give up control of our money. That's why so many of you have 401ks, IRAs, qualified plans, because that's what we've been taught to do, is put our money in those plans and hope to get paid down the road later when we retire. But how many people, the same thing with you or yourself, how many people have you met in your life that are totally happy, ecstatic, elated, delighted, joyful about how their retirement plan has actually performed for them? Or even for you? Probably not a lot. I mean, how's that retirement 401k qualified plan been doing just for you for the last 10 or 11 months? And you think it's going to get any better a year from now, 2 years from now? It's all about you keeping control of your money. A lot of you guys in here, most of you in here, are really, really good at making money, but the majority of you suck at keeping money. You just don't know how to keep it, right? I mean, the thing is that you can make it, but you don't know how to keep it. I turned on the TV this morning in my hotel room, and guess what they said? They said 70% of all people that win the lottery are broke within 5 years. Why do you think that is? Because we have not been taught how to manage our money and to be disciplined with our money and how to keep control of our money. Instead, we give up control to other people and we want them to help us with the money. No, you guys got to be in control yourself. And there's no better concept on this planet, or at least that I've found since 2006, and that's how long I've been looking. So for the last 16, 17 years, nobody has shown me a vehicle that's going to be better to build, keep, and create wealth. So this doesn't replace anything that you're doing. It's okay, so like, I'm not saying, so don't go make that investment, don't go buy that, or right, I'm not asking you to change anything that you're currently doing. No, this is not an either or, this is an and. It's an addition to what you're already doing. So everything that you guys are doing to make money is great. We're just going to add one step into the process. That's it. One step, and you keep control of that money. There's no money that's being leaked out to other people. All right. So let me go to the home equity line of credit example, Hannah, if you'll pull that up. So now the thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, and again, okay, so just in sense, this is a real estate seminar, and I teach at a lot of real estate seminars. I'm going to show you how you can use the equity in your house to even jumpstart your banking system even more. All right? So a lot of us have equity in our house, do we not? However, a lot of us aren't using the equity that we have in our home. And if you think about it, tell me how the equity in your house helps you at all. How does the equity help you? Well, it gives you a peace of mind knowing that you have equity. Or maybe you have a house that's paid off and you owe nothing on the house, and a lot of you are really proud and happy that you owe no money on your house at all. Well, is that really a good thing? Because you got all that equity that's sitting there that you could be using to make more money, right? Now, let's just say that you say to me, Brent, I want to put $20,000 a year into a life insurance policy, into this cash value life insurance policy that's going to give you cash immediately. And if you remember from yesterday, how soon is immediately? Within 30 days. So you put money into the policy, within 30 days, you get the cash value out. So, all right, Hannah, can you blow it up a little bit? At all, just make it bigger, even if we can't see the whole screen. Okay. So I'm going to make believe, okay, so the thing you did is you came to me and said, hey, Brent, I want to put $20,000 into this life insurance policy, but you may have a home equity line of credit or equity in your house, and let's just call it $150,000 is what you could go out and get as a home equity line of credit. So instead of you putting $20,000 a year in the policy, I'm gonna say you can put $50,000 a year in that policy. So the thing I'm gonna do is take the $150,000 and I'm gonna divide it over 5 years. I could have divided it over 2, 1, 3, 4. I just said 5, okay? I just want you to get the concept in the example. So here's what you do. The thing you do is you come and, as far as with the $20,000 comes out of your pocket because you say that's what you can put into the policy. You take the other $30,000 that comes off of your HELOC, your home equity line of credit, and now instead of paying $20,000 in premium, you pay $50,000 in premium. However, by doing this, so how much money actually came out of your pocket? Only 20, right? Because the other 30 came from the home equity line. So now you put in the $50,000 into the policy and you immediately have $29,000 of that 50 available to use. Now, if you think about it, all you did was come out of pocket of 20. So immediately in the first year, I got you $9,000 more, okay? So anyway, 9,000 more than the 20, because remember, this did not come out of your pocket. I mean, yeah, yes, okay, so like it did, but it didn't. It came out of the equity that was sitting in your house that you were doing nothing with anyway. So now that $29,000 is what you have to use on anything that you want immediately. Now, I'm going to assume that on that equity line of credit, you're paying 5% interest, which is $1,500, which is 5% of $30,000. So even after you pay the equity line interest, you still end up with $27,000 and some change. Are you with me? So all you came out of pocket with is what? 20, and you have 27 after you pay the interest. Go to year two. You do the same thing. It's come out of pocket with 20. Now we're going to use another 30 from the home equity line. So now you have cash of a little more than $30,000. Okay? After you pay the interest, which is 5% of not on the $30,000, but 5% on the $60,000, which is $3,000, you still have $27,000 to use in anything else that you want to buy. It could be an investment property, it could be a car, it could be a boat, it's anything that you want. In the third year, the same thing, you come out of pocket of 20, you take, okay, now you take another 30 from the home equity line, which now you have a total of 90. But now look over here, you've got a cash value here of $35,000. Now that's just for that year, right? So each of these are each individual years. So for example, in the first year you had, okay, in the first year you had 27, 27 and 27 is 54, 54 and 31 is 85. So those are cumulative numbers. The numbers over here are each individual year. The numbers over here are cumulative growth. So here you have 120,000, okay, again, I'm sorry, 90,000 out, and now you're going to pay interest of 5%, which is 4,500, but you still have $31,000 that year, and all you came out of pocket for was 20. Go to year four. It works the same way, but the numbers keep getting bigger. Now look what happens in year four. Okay, in the fourth year, you put a total of $50,000 into the policy. You have just under $50,000 available. And in real life, these numbers are even bigger. It's closer to the dollar for dollar in the third year. But I always like to under-promise and over-deliver because I want it to be better in real life than what I'm showing up here. But in the fourth year, you basically have all $50,000. Now you're paying a total of $6,000 in interest, which leaves you $43,000 and change, or a cumulative of almost $130,000. Now the very last year that we're going to use the equity funds is year five. So you come out of pocket with 20, you pay a total to the insurance company right here of 50, because you got 30 that's coming from your equity line, and now you got 51 after you pay the interest of 7,500, which is 5% of 150,000. Remember, whenever you calculate home equity line of credit and interest, it's calculated as simple interest, not compounded interest. You have a total of $173,000 in cash. So all we've done is we've used your equity line to jumpstart the policy. We're just getting more money in the policy, and we're using the equity line that is just sitting there anyway. Now, let's just say if you were mad at the bank and you don't want to owe the bank the $150,000 anymore at this point, right? You're like, you know what? I want the bank out of my life. I don't want to owe them the $150,000. Okay, well, is there enough money to take out to pay the bank back $150,000? There is. There's $173,000 there, right? So really what you're doing is you're just creating money from the equity that's already sitting in your house. Because if you're not using it, somebody else is using it. The bank is using that money to make these same kind of deals or transactions. So now all we do, So in this example, I'm going to say no, it's okay to keep the $150 out of the bank, and all you're going to do is pay the annual interest every year of $7,500. Well, so then when we get to the end, Hannah, can you scroll up, go all the way to the bottom? So now when we get to the end, let's say we've done this, and I say end, I just ran this out for 30 years. Now, the thing we've done is we've came out of pocket with $600,000. I used $150,000 of the equity money, so that's a total of like $750,000. Okay, that's a total of $750,000. And I have a total here of $1,121,000. And then after I subtract all the interest, okay, all the interest just that I've paid, I have, okay, so I have $912,000 in my account. So also keep in mind all the interest here, okay, for all these years, all the interest here so that I've paid, if you're using that for a business purpose, can that be a tax deduction?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So can you deduct that interest off of your taxes?
Yeah.
And if your accountant tells you no, you can't, you might want to start shopping for a new accountant. So all of that can be, okay, so like deducted as well. I don't know, Hannah, does this one show a death benefit on this one or not? It may not. This example may not. No. But on top of that, the thing you have is the death benefit of whatever this policy is. And all of this money can be used to buy anything that you want or any investment that you want to invest in. So everything I'm showing you here is not even involving the whole infinite banking concept. This is just basically you like transferring money into a bank account and you letting it sit. And you're not using that money for anything at all. You aren't doing anything with it whatsoever. All right, go to the example of the stair-stepping and the laddering of policies. And so now I'm going to show you how you basically can almost create money out of like just plain thin air. Just create money out of thin air. Yeah, that sounds really stupid, doesn't it? But let me show you. And anyway, you'll see. There was one other thing I wanted to show you too. Okay, that'll be next. All right. So can you blow this one up a little? So I'm going to show you an example now of how a person buys multiple policies, but only just coming out of pocket with just the same amount that you start with. So I'm going to say you have $100,000 that you want to put into a policy. And if 100 is too much, then take off a zero. Just put in 10. If, you know, if 10's too little, then cut the 100 and divide it in 2 and it'll be 50. If 100 is too small, times it by 10 and put in 1,000,000. It's up to you. You decide the amount of money you want to put into the policy. So I'm going to show you how you're going to come out of pocket $100,000 every year. And just like what's going to happen with that money, how you're going to basically create money out of thin air. So in the very first year, okay, so this number in red, this is your annual outlay. This is what you're coming out of pocket with. And I'm going to say that's $100,000. The numbers in green are the amount of money that you have to use to go out and buy anything that you want, to actually use for this banking concept. So in the very first year, you put in 100, and you have a total of 54,000 to use. So I'm just going to say that's all you do in year one. You put in 100, and you put the policy on the shelf, and you do nothing with it, which is the worst thing you could do, but it's still going to be okay. Now, so now comes the second year. And the thing you do is you come out of pocket with $100,000 in year two. Well, if you notice, now on that year, you have a total of $57,000 that you can use out of that 100. It's actually just a lot more than that because you have like the 54 plus the 57. But I'm not even doing anything with the 54 up here at all. So in year two, the thing you come out of pocket for, okay, of 100, and you have 57 and some change to use. So of that 57, guess what you do with it? You take $50,000 of that 57, and you go buy a second policy for $50,000. So how much was your first policy? $100,000. So how much is the second policy? $50,000. So the thing that you did is just sent $150,000 total to the insurance company because now you have two policies. But how much money came out of your pocket? Only $100. $100 came out of your pocket, but you sent $150 to the insurance company. And then out of that new policy, if you wanted to use it, you could. You've got $27,000 to use of that. Now we go to the third year, and you say, hey, I can come out of pocket 100 grand every year. I'm good with 100 grand. And remember, if that number's too big, take off a zero and come out of pocket with 10. The number's up to you. So now in the third year, you come out of pocket with 100. Immediately, okay, just out of that 100, so how much do we have to use? 91 and some change, right? So now we take, of that 91, the thing we do is we fund the second policy of 50. So we take a loan, okay, from policy one to pay the premium on policy two, the same way we did up here in the second year. Are you with me? Now we take another 50 and we start a brand new policy of policy three. So now how much money did we send to the insurance company? $200,000. How much came out of our pocket? $100K. Are you guys with me so far? Now I know what a couple of you, like really deep analyticals, are thinking. You're saying, Brent, how can that be? I only had $91,800. How can I take $100,000? Well, look, I got dollars here, I got dollars here, and I got dollars here, okay? So I just want you to get the concept. Don't let the nickel hide the dime, all right? So now I've got three policies, don't I? And I'm sending $200,000 a year to the insurance company, but I've only come out of pocket with $100,000. Watch what happens in year four. It's the last year we're going to do this. We're going to buy one more policy. Now in year four, I come out of pocket with $100,000, just like I've been doing every single year. And how much cash value do I have? $102,000 out of that $100,000. So guess what I do? I take a total of $50,000 and I fund premium number two, or a policy number two. I take another $50,000 to fund policy three. And then guess what? I start another policy with the money from policy two, from the cash value of policy two to fund policy four. Hannah, slide that over, babe. All right, so now I funded policy number four. So how much am I sending the insurance company? $250. I've got four policies. I got a 100, a 50, a 50, and a 50. $250,000 I'm sending to the insurance company, but I'm only coming out of pocket with $100,000. So I hope you see what I'm doing here. All I'm doing is I'm using the cash value of some of my existing policies to start additional policies. That's all I'm doing. I can use the cash value to do anything that I want. The insurance company never asks you why you're taking a policy loan, and they never ask you if you plan on paying back the policy loan. They don't care because they can't lose. Because the insurance company is guaranteed to get paid, because on these policies there is a thing called a death benefit. And the death benefit amount is always higher than the loan availability or the cash value. So it's not an if, it's a when you die, pass, or graduate, right? It's not if, it's when that happens. We all have an expiration date, we just don't know when that is. So now look what happens. Now we go to policy, now we're in the fifth year. Now I'm no longer paying $100,000 into that policy. I'm only putting $40,000 into it. Why am I only putting $40,000? Well, because the way we design the policy, it's designed for high immediate cash value. So there's two parts on the policy. There's this thing that we call a base premium and a paid up additions rider premium. And in this case, and again, all that is stuff that all you guys don't really need to know, but in this case, the two parts of the policy, it's like split up into 40% and 60%. So the base premium is 40% or $40,000, and the paid up additions rider portion is 60% or $60,000. In the beginning stages of the policy, the base premium has no cash value really. All the cash value is driven by that paid up additions rider. So, now that the policy is older, more seasoned, more efficient, we drop off the paid up additions rider premium, which is the $60,000. We drop that off, and we're only funding it with the base premium, which is 40% of the initial premium, or $40,000. Think of it like this. Have you guys ever seen the space shuttle take off into space? And it's got the space shuttle, and it has these two booster rockets. And after that space shuttle takes off, it gets up in the air, and those two booster rockets do what? They fall off. Why do they fall off? They're no longer needed, right? So they fall off. And now everything is being driven by the base premium, right? The PUA is no longer as efficient. So that's why we're only now going to put $40,000 a year into the policy. But look what happens when we put $40,000 in. How much can we use immediately? 53. So how much of your money do you want to, or I should ask this, how many times a year, so how many different times are you wanting to put in 40 to be able to use 53? As many as possible, yes? And it just keeps getting better. It's not me telling you this. All of these numbers are not numbers I just threw up here in a spreadsheet. These all came off the actual policy illustrations, and this is exactly what your numbers would look like on your policy illustration. So here we are in year 5. I come out of pocket with 40 for policy 1. I come out of pocket for 50 with policy 2. So a total of 90. Got it? Because before, remember what you said. You said you're good with 100. You guys can come out with 100. So I'm only making you come out of pocket with 90 this year. So now, in order to fund policy 3, we take a loan from policy 2 to pay policy 3. And we take a loan from policy 3 to pay policy 4. Are you with me? So how much did we come out of pocket with this year? $90,000. How much premium did we pay? The premium on all the policies, yes? Year number 6. The same thing, we come out of pocket here with policy 1 of 40. We now drop this 50 to 20. The same way we dropped this 100 to 40, we drop this 50 to 20 because we dropped off that paid up additions rider. So we come out of pocket with 20, and then we come out of pocket for policy 3. So this year I put in 40, 20, and 50, which equals 110. But you guys can't be mad at me. Because I know you said you could only come out of pocket with 100, but last year I only made you come out of pocket with 90. All right? We good? So we came out of pocket. I will answer it. Hang on, write it down. Okay, so now we come out of pocket with 110. That's for policy 1, 2, and 3. And policy 4, I take a loan from policy 3 to pay policy 4. So I paid all the premium, and I came out of pocket with 110 this year. All right, almost done. Let's look at year 7. In year 7, same thing. I come out of pocket with policy 1 of 40, policy 2 of 20, and policy 3 of 20 for 80. So less. I came out of pocket with less than 100 this year. Only $80,000 in year 7 I came out of pocket with, and I took a loan from policy 3 to pay policy 4. All we're doing is rinsing and repeating, right? It just changes a little bit. But now watch how we're creating money out of thin air. This is what's going to happen now every year going forward. Every single year going forward, this is what happens from year 8 and on. You're going to come out of pocket in policy 1, you're going to pay 40, you immediately have 62 available of that 40. You come out of pocket of 20 for policy 2, out of pocket of 20 for policy 3, out of pocket for 20 of policy 4. So now every year, this is what you're going to do in those policies. Now let's just say there is a severe catastrophe and a financial disaster. Your spouse left you, your dog ran off, your house got foreclosed on. I mean, all of the crap hit the fan. It could not be a worse time ever. You're broke. You're out of money. You have no money left. And all of a sudden you walk to the mailbox and you see this thing in the mail and it says policy premium due. And you're thinking, that jerk Brent Kessler, I got to pay this policy premium. Look, like what in the heck he set me up with. So let's just say that happens. So you walk out to the mailbox and basically you have no money, but you open up the mailbox and it says you owe $40,000 in premium one, but you don't have the $40,000. Could you go across the street to the bank and say, Mr. Banker, I have to pay the premium on this policy, but as soon as I pay that $40,000, I've got $62,000 that I can use immediately. And the banker says, is that the truth? Yes, sir, go call the insurance company. The banker walks out the room, calls the insurance company, comes back with a big smile on his face and says, all right, Brent, I'll gladly loan you $40,000 to pay the premium on that policy, take it for collateral. So now he loans you, okay, just the money to pay the, okay, so to pay the premium of 40. You immediately, how soon is immediately? Within 30 days, you have 62,000. So could you pay the banker back the money that you borrowed from him, the 40 grand? Let's just say an extra $1,000 for interest and inconvenience or whatever. Right? So you pay him back a total instead of 40 of 41, but you still have 62, right? Because yes, you have 62 in order to pay him back a total of 41. So if you had 62 and paid him 41, how much do you have? 21 left. Then you walk out to the mailbox the next day, and there's a, and then there's another letter that says 20,000 premium due. How much do you have? 21. Can you pay the 20?
Yes.
You can. Remember, now the banker's out of your life. So you paid the 20 with the 21, and how much do you have after you pay it? $1,000. But you now have the cash value of this, which is 29. So 29 plus 1 is what? You have 30,000. How much have you come out of pocket with so far this year? Zero. So now you got 1 plus 29, a total of 30. Walk out to the mailbox again. Premium due of 20. Well, how much do you have? 30. Can you pay the 20? So you pay the premium on policy 3 of the 20, and you had 30, so how much do you have now? 10. You good? I know it's after lunch and math is hard and it's Sunday, but you have 10. Okay? So now you go to the mailbox one last time with $10,000 in with $10,000 plus the 28, so 10 plus 28 is what? You have 38. So you go to the mailbox one more time, and how much is in your pocket? 38, and you have to pay this last policy of 20. So if you pay that last policy of 20 and you have 38, how much you have left? 18. But not only do you have the 18, if you really need to get this money of 26, 18 plus 26 is what? 44. So how much at the end of the line are we just have in our pocket? 44. How much did we start with at the beginning of the line? Zero. You started with zero and you've got 44. Could you do the same thing next year if you had to do it? Absolutely. So did we just basically create money out of thin air? See, the computer is so excited it just went blank. I mean, it's like, I mean, it can't even believe it. It's just like, I got to shut off. This is just too much. Right? So all we're doing here is we're using our policy dollars to fund additional dollars. Now go to that next example. How am I doing? Okay, now look here. So this is just a recap. This is what actually is happening without all the numbers going crossways. This is exactly what we just did. Remember, in the first year we put in 100 and we have 54,000 to use. The numbers in red on the left are, okay, that's the amount you're coming out of pocket with each year. That's what you agreed to come out of pocket with. The numbers in green, it says, is the money available for use in banking after, the key word here is after, premiums are paid. So after you pay the premium on all of these policies, this is how much that you can use each individual year. Each individual year. The cumulative number is the number in blue. These numbers get bigger because they're adding on the green numbers each and every year. So, in the first year, if you remember, the thing we did is put in 100, and we just let the policy sit, and we've got 54,000 to use, okay? But it just sat there. We did nothing. The second year, if you remember, we outlaid 100, but we paid policy 2. So we really outlaid 150 to the insurance company. But even after we sent the insurance company 150, we still had $34,000 to use. We only came out of pocket with 100. We sent the insurance company 150, but even after doing that, that year we had a total of 34. And if you want to add a cumulative number up of what we have between year 1 and 2, that would be 54 and 34, which was 88. You good? Year 3, remember we came out of pocket with 100. But we paid policy 1 for 100, policy 2 of 50, policy 3 of 50. So we sent the insurance company $200,000 in year 3, only coming out of pocket with 100. But even after we sent the insurance company 200, we still had $47,000 to use to do whatever else we wanted to do with. To loan money, to invest in real estate, to buy a car, to go on a vacation, whatever it is you want to use. In year number 5, is that where I'm at, 5? 3, it doesn't matter, it's all, like, goes the same, right? So here in year, I'm in year 4. Okay, so like $100,000 came out of our pocket, but that $100,000 that came out of our pocket, we actually sent $250,000 to the insurance company. $100,000 for policy 1, $50,000 for policy 2, $50,000 for policy 3, and $50,000 for policy 4. So $250,000 total went to the insurance company. We only came out of pocket with $100,000. And even after we did that, we still have $54,000 to use with for whatever we want, a cumulative value to use of $190,000. Year number 5, I'm buying no more policies now. I'm just going to fund what I have. Right? So I come out of pocket with 90, I fund all 4 of those policies, and I have 80. So now you're starting to see where I'm at. It's starting to get close, isn't it? The money that I'm outlaying to the money that I can use is about equal. Yes, I gave up some cash value early on because I borrowed cash value from one policy to pay another one to pay another one. So even though these numbers up here are a little lower, long term, it's going to be better because I'm going to have so much more money going into this system. So it's kind of like, are you wanting the McDonald's drive-through hamburger, or do you want to go in and sit down at a nice restaurant and wait for your meal to be prepared? You're both going to get probably full either way, but which way do you want to do it? Would you rather drive a Chevette or a Mercedes? I don't know, right? They'll both get you from A to B. So, all right, so here we are, okay, in year 6. We now outlay $110,000. For all 4 policies, that comes out of our pocket. We pay the premium on all 4 of the policies, which are $250,000 in premium, what minus if we dropped off any of the paid up additions rider, so whatever that number is. But now coming out of pocket with 110, we have $131,000 to use. We have more to use than what we're outlaying. And if you want the cumulative number, you got 402,000. So the numbers just keep getting bigger year after year. So somebody might say to me, and I get this question quite often, to say, Brent, could I use this vehicle for retirement income? Hannah, scroll up. Go to year, I don't know, just pick a year. Pick year maybe 21. Just go to year 21. I'm just picking a year. You can pick any year you want. Okay? So can you use this vehicle for retirement income? So in the 21st year, I'm saying that you're going to outlay $100,000, okay? So after you outlay $100,000, after you pay the premium on all the policies, how much cash do you have that year? $303,000. So because you outlaid $100,000, you have 303 to use. We got to subtract the 100 you outlaid, so you still have $200,000 of extra money, do you not? So can you live off of $200,000 a year? I don't know. It depends on your lifestyle. A couple of you might have to, you know, like start mixing just maybe your hamburger with Alpo. I don't know, right? It depends on just how much money you need to live. So that was on the 21st year. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, Brent, I don't have the $100,000. Well, let me just tell you, if you knew that you, okay, so like if all of you knew that if all you had to do was come up with $100,000, you would have $303,000 immediately to use, $203,000 more. You would beg, borrow, or steal, or find that $100,000 to find it and get it in the account. Would you not? I think you would. You would find it. But let's just say you don't. Let's say you don't do that at all. And you're like, man, I just can't come up with the $100,000. Well, what about this number right here? 3.5 million. Could you go in here and get $100,000 out of that 3.5 million to pay that premium? You absolutely could, right? So the numbers just continue to get bigger. And remember, every number that I just showed you up here, you are not doing anything at all with the policy. You are not practicing the infinite banking concept at all. Really, all you've done is you've bought these policies and you put them on the shelf and you're just letting them sit there, which is the worst thing you can do. In that black book, can you hold that black book up? So like in that black book, Becoming Your Own Banker by Nelson Nash, which you need to add that book to your financial library, on page 54, 59, 60, 61, and 62, he shows you examples of the more you use the policy for the things you're buying in life anyway, all of the numbers in each of those pages just keep getting bigger. And he shows you an example of the same person putting in the same amount of premium in each of those pages. The only difference is that it is so that, okay, so like in each page, he's buying additional equipment for his business. For example, the example that he uses is a real life example. It was his nephew that owned a logging company in the state of Georgia. And he had to have trucks, tractors, and tree shears in this company. So all he did is he used his own banking system to buy the truck. Instead of going out to the finance company to buy it, he used his own banking system. He bought the truck out of his own policy, and he paid himself back instead of paying somebody else back. Exactly like I show you in the car example, right? So like in the car example that I showed you yesterday, and we briefly went over it today, it was a $25,000 car. Well, it works the same way for a $50,000 car. It's just the numbers are going to be bigger because you got more money running through the policy. So it doesn't matter where you're at on this scale, and it doesn't matter if like the number that you choose is $100,000. So let's say it's only $10,000. So you're going to take off a zero off of all of these numbers. You'll take off a zero off of all of these, and you'll take off a zero off of all of these. So instead of this being $100,000, it'll be $10,000. Instead of this being $5.7 million, it'll be $570,000. Instead of this being $414,000, it'll be $41,000. That's it. It's all just math. It's all numbers. It doesn't matter. People say all the time, well, is this going to work better for me if I start more money in my policy premium? It doesn't work better for you. It's going to work the same. It just is more money is working for you. That's all. I mean, I have people that put in like $200 a month into a policy, and I have a guy that puts in $540,000 a month. It works the same way. It's just one number is $200, another is $540,000. That's it. Okay, last thing. Go to Larry. Yep, go. Okay. You have questions on this. I'm going to go to one other quick example. Yes.
Yeah, I've got like five, but I'll give you my best one, or two. Can property be bought and sold through the policy?
Can property be bought and sold inside of the policy? Well, the thing you're going to...
Here's what I mean. I'm going to buy a property. Can my private lender put the money into the policy, and I'm going to close on it, and I get the rehab money, too, and I'm going to close on it in, say, 30 days. Can that money sit in there?
Yeah, well, okay, so like it can't be bought inside of the policy. It's an insurance policy. But, yes, the money can be transferred, right? So, like, I own, like, I don't know, probably 16 or 17 properties. I run all my properties through my policy. I loan the money, right, and then they pay me back.
My second question is, we also have established a nonprofit foundation. Can we use this in conjunction with a nonprofit organization?
Well, yeah.
To help the nonprofit make money, to support our mission.
Well, yes, but it just can't be inside of the policy. So the thing you're going to do is loan money to the nonprofit will pay it back. Or I also have another slide called the charitable giving slide, where okay, and the way that works is that people can give money to charities, right? And just keep all of that money, and the money continues to keep growing.
Yeah, because we're the recipient of, or the foundation's the recipient of that money, and you're right, the money just sits there.
Yeah, but remember, every premium dollar is paid with after-tax dollars for all of our examples, so we've already paid tax on that money, and now we've got it into a tax-free environment, and the government's out of our hair. I don't think I'm going to have time to go over this example with questions. I misread. I thought I was on for 90 minutes, but I'm only on for 60 minutes. Is that right? I'm only on for 60 minutes?
Almost 20 left.
I have 20 left? Oh, my gosh. Is it Christmas? Thank you for that. Okay. 20 minutes. Yes, sir.
Give an example. In 20 year 21, you have 100,000 premium paid. You get 300,000 in green number back.
Yeah. Well, all the money inside of the policy is growing tax-free. And remember, every time, okay, all the times we take money out of the policy, the thing we're doing is taking it out in the form of a policy loan and not a withdrawal. The key word is loan and not withdrawal. If you take it out as a policy loan, it's never taxed. Loans are never, ever, ever taxed. You've never paid tax on a loan. If you take it out as a withdrawal, it would be taxed above and beyond cost basis. So let's just say through 20 years, you've put in, I don't know, how much is that, $2 million? So the first $2 million would not be taxable because you've already paid tax on that money if you take it out as a withdrawal. But if you take out like $3 million, then the other million will be taxed at ordinary income. But you're never going to want to take it out as just a withdrawal. You're always going to want to take it out as a policy loan, especially if you have children and grandchildren, and your children and grandchildren understand this. They are not going to want you to take it out as a withdrawal because you're only going to hurt their legacy and their future dollars and benefit. Who else? Someone else? Question? Yes, sir?
Two questions. First question is, you said a loan. Do you make a loan to your policy, even to yourself? Is that part of the 6% that the company gets?
Well, as far as you charging yourself interest, it's up to you what you charge yourself. I mean, it should be within reason, but anytime you take a policy loan, if you remember from the calculators, I showed you no insurance company I work with charges more than 6% to take out a policy loan. So, however, I don't have any insurance company currently that charges more than 5%. But the reason I show you 6 is okay, just because I want to underpromise and overdeliver. But the policy loan that you're taking is not from your money. You're not taking your money out of the policy. You're simply putting your policy up for collateral and taking a loan from the general fund of the insurance company. So your money is all growing and compounding as if it was all in there. And the loan that you're taking is its simple interest. So let's just say you took a $100,000 loan and you kept it out for 12 months at 5%, you're going to pay $5,000. If you keep the money out for 6 months, you're going to pay $2,500. So it's simple interest. You have compounded growth growing inside of the policy, but when you take a loan, it's its simple interest.
So you're saying that the loan you're taking out on your own policy yourself, that's what you're talking about, right?
On all policies. It doesn't have to be on yourself. It could be on your spouse, your kids, whoever you have a policy on that you own. Say again?
It's still the interest coming out of your own, of the policy, right? Whatever comes out of the policy, it's a 5% loan fee.
Yes, it's a 5% loan fee, but not from your policy. It's coming from the general fund of the insurance company. That's who's giving you the loan.
Yeah.
Right? So that's who you're going to pay back the loan to because they gave you the money.
So the
are we good?
Paid to your own account or to the as a fee to the insurance company?
The loan comes from the insurance company. The loan comes from the insurance company.
The interest that we pay back.
The interest that you pay back, the insurance company's charging you 5%.
Okay.
So let's say you pay yourself back 10%. You're only paying the insurance company back 5%. But all your money is still in the policy growing. And then any extra money that you send back to the insurance company, that all goes in as policy premium. Or it can be, or, well, yeah, again, it could be policy premium, or you could pay loan balance. But if you pay policy premium and it's extra money, that goes in to buy you additional paid up additions insurance, which increases your loan availability, your cash value, and your death benefit. Don't get hung up on the policy loan interest. Just know that, okay, the policy loan is coming from the general fund of the insurance company. You're putting it up for collateral. Right? Just like if you were going to borrow money from me and you put your house up for collateral, I'm going to loan you the money. You're going to pay me back. But if you don't pay me back, I could foreclose. If for some reason you don't pay back the insurance company, they're not necessarily going to foreclose. They're just going to use your death benefit. At the time of your death, the death benefit will pay off any outstanding loan. The only reason the insurance company would foreclose on your policy is if you sucked every dollar possible out of the policy, and if you did it very early on and you never funded it anymore, then you could lapse the policy. But that's not the insurance company lapsing the policy, that's you lapsing the policy, because the insurance company is obeying by the contract and the terms that you guys, okay, as far as originally agreed to.
Is it better to take the policy out on my grandchild or on me?
Is it better to take the policy out on the grandchild or her? Well, I get that question a lot. And the reason you're thinking that is because you can buy more insurance at a lesser cost on a grandchild. You're thinking wrong on all of this, and everybody thinks this. No. It's the cash value. The cash value is what we're looking at, not the death benefit. So if you had a grandchild, let's say you had a 10-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 50-year-old, and let's say you're putting in $10,000 into the policy on a 10-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 50-year-old, who's going to have the most death benefit, assuming they're all in equal health? The 10-year-old. Who's going to have the least? The 50-year-old. But the cash, right? And I said this yesterday. All of us have a $20 bill. We go to the same grocery store at the same time with $20. The 10-year-old, the 30-year-old, and the 50-year-old. Who buys the most groceries? All the same. It doesn't matter how old you are. So when we're talking about cash, it doesn't matter. The only difference is for the same amount of premium on all three of those ages, assuming they are all in equal health, the youngest one will buy more death benefit. That's it. The cash is going to be the same. Very, very similar. All right. Anyway, how soon do I have, Eric? Is Eric back there? Yes. How?
10 minutes.
Let's go through Larry Lucky Jeans real quick. Watch this. This is just, again, it's just another concept. Let's say you come to me and you say, Brent, I don't want to pay premium on my policy forever, which I don't know why you would ever say that if you totally understand this. We have never had one client over in, so anyway, Hannah, how many clients do we have? Almost 7,000 in every state of the country. Nobody that's been with me for 2 years or longer has ever stopped paying premium because you don't want to give up the growth. You're always going to want to pay premium into the policy because of the growth. The only reason that you'll quit is within the first 2 years, and that's if you have a severe financial catastrophe or disaster. But once you get past the second year, you won't want to quit. But let's just look at this. This is called like a 10-pay policy, where you pay it for 10 years and you're done. You don't do anything else with it. So I'm going to go through this kind of quick because I got 10 minutes. But if, okay, so like, all right, so anyway, let's see, on the left, all he does for 10 years is he puts in $15,000 a year. Every year he puts in $15,000 a year, lets the policy sit, does nothing with it, which is the worst thing you can do, by the way, okay? But that's what he does. So after 10 years, he's put in $150,000. Over here is the cash value, because of the way we designed this policy, okay? It's the cash value of the policy, and over here is the death benefit, all right? So all I want you to notice on the death benefit, it just keeps going up. And the cash value too keeps going up a little bit. Now this is a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a different design because it's a 10 pay, but sometimes you want this. So after the 10th year, we no longer pay this premium anymore. And this is a policy a person might start on a child, but you could do it on an adult because if you notice, it's age 2, year 1. Okay? So basically at birth is when they're buying this policy. So now, all these cash value numbers continuously go up, even though after the 10th year, you're no longer paying premium. So guess what happens when you turn 18? College, maybe? So here we have a college fund where we have $210,000 into this policy. How much have I put into it? $150,000. I have $210,000. Now remember, it has a death benefit of $2 million over here, okay? And the true value of the policy is the death benefit. But what we're going to do is we're going to use the policy to pay for 4 years of college at $20,000 each. So we take out $20,000 right here in 18, 19, 20, and 21. So we've taken $80,000 out of the policy total, right? You got it? So now all I put in was $150,000. So now we continue to go through life, and they go through college. Now they want to get married. Scroll up, Hannah. So now they want to get married. How much is the wedding? The wedding is $30,000. So now we add that to, so now we add that just to the $80,000 that we took out. So we took out $110,000, but we still have $201,000 in the policy. So if you don't want a $30,000 wedding, you can have a more expensive wedding. If it just like if you're asking me, just take a trip and just find an ordained minister and get married and save the $30,000. That's just my thought. But anyway, now we're gonna go buy a house, and if the house is at age 30, we're putting a down payment of $40,000 on the house. So now $150,000 is what we've taken out of the policy. How much did we put in to the policy over 10 years? $150,000. So now we've taken $150,000 out. And look at the very next year, age 32. We have $238,000 of cash in the policy we can use for other stuff and a death benefit of $2.4 million. 5 minutes, I got it. Okay, so scroll on down. All we're doing is living life, man. The sun comes up, it goes down. This is just how some people go when they live. So scroll up, Hannah. After the down payment on the house, guess what we do now? What happens next? What's our next big life event? Oh, college for their children, right? So now college for their children, and they had two children, and college is going to cost $30,000 a year for each kid. And the kids are 2 years apart. So in the first 2 years, we just have one kid going to college. In the next 2 years, we have both kids going to college. So instead of $30,000, we need $60,000. And in the last 2 years of college, we just have the last kid going, so we need $30,000. So how much did we take? We took $30,000, $60,000, $120,000, $180,000, $210,000, $240,000 for a total of $390,000 is what we've taken out of the policy over the last 51 years. How much did we put in? $150,000. We've taken out $390,000. How much do we have that we could go use for other stuff? Right here, $522,000. Not to mention the death benefit keeps going up. And then finally, okay, now what happens? Hannah, scroll up. Scroll on up. Now, retirement income for this individual. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to take retirement income starting at age 65. Of a total of $60,000 a year retirement income. Scroll up. And we take retirement age from age 65 and we kill them off at age 90. So they die at age 90, $60,000 a year of retirement income for 25 years. We've taken out a total of $1.89 million. Let's see, at the child's age 90, a total of $150,000 is what we put into the policy. We took out almost $1.9 million. That's the ROR, which I don't even care about that number. Plus, they still have $1,093,000 of cash value and $2.4 million of death benefit. Was there anything stupid that we did here? There is no better gift a grandparent can give their grandchild or a parent can give their child than the gift of a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends, and they need to learn how to use the banking concept. Like, if this is me, yes, I'm doing all of this stuff. I'm not paying for no damn wedding, though, but I'm doing all this other stuff, you know? And, I mean, the numbers just keep getting bigger, but you just do it for more and more and more stuff. All right, I think I'm out of time. Out of time. Don't get arrival syndrome. The minimum. Okay. So yeah. Anyway. Okay. So as a lot of you guys know, I speak all around the country. I'm happy to come to your town and speak to your group. Prior to the pandemic, I was speaking at 50 to 70 live events a year. So if there's an event that is out there that you have live, Zoom, virtual, whatever, I'm happy to come and speak at your event. As I said earlier, you never pay me a dime. I get paid if you start a policy. I get paid a commission, the same way your car insurance guy gets paid. So if you go to John Smith, the Allstate man, to buy car insurance, the check that you write is not to John Smith, you write it to Allstate. So anyway, even all the events that I speak at all around the country, and colleagues on my team, Chris Noggle, Hannah, Stephen Nagy, all the people that are on our team, Jonah and Jeremiah do. So anyway, this next year in 23, we're actually doing 23 of our own events in 23 different places around, the country. We don't know all the locations yet. We'll have those nailed down in the next couple weeks, and then a couple weeks after that, we'll have all the dates nailed down. So these will all be places where we're coming to your city to talk on this concept and to go through the advanced topics as well. And then we also have an annual mastermind. Last year it was in Daytona Beach, which is our home base, and this year I don't know if it'll be in Daytona or not. We haven't decided yet, but that's an annual mastermind, and it's like a three-day event. I think we had about 300 people there the last event that we had in Daytona, so just kind of keep looking out for that. I think all you guys have our contact information from yesterday. If you don't, just come out to our booth there. Our website is themoneymultiplier.com. And then if for some reason that you guys did not see the full recorded presentation, if you come up to me, I'll let you scan it on the back of my phone, okay, the QR code, and you can watch it. Or you can go to our website, themoneymultiplier.com, click on resources, click on presentation, and the whole 90-plus minute presentation is there. So, and the last thing I'll say is if you guys were not here yesterday, I know I gave you that piece of paper on the back. If you wanted a strategy call to see how this would work for you, all you have to do is give us your name, email, and phone number, and we will schedule a strategy call to talk to you about how this will, like, how this can work in, as far as in your life. And the last thing is, if you want my ebook, all you got to do is email me, Brent, B-R-E-N-T, the @ the, T-H-E, Brent at themoneymultiplier.com, and I'll send you the ebook. All right, guys, thank you.